Good times. None of this usable. None of this
okay,
what we've done.
Should we start again?
No, we don't start recording, but we should do usable things. Things that we can put on the air that will not get us thrown in jail.
Okay. All right.
Nothing I said would get us thrown in jail. It was more so I can't believe you said those things. Hello and welcome to episode 576 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
576, Adam.
Wow. I don't even know what to say about that. We're getting close to the 600.
Oh, that's not what I was going to say. That's a half a year away.
Yeah, anything. But it's in sight. We can see it approaching in the distance.
Yeah, but 576, that's a big number.
Yeah, so is 600. It's bigger. It's like 25
All right.
more.
All right. Yeah,
24, but, actually.
Well, yeah. 576, though. 24 yeah. squared. 24 squared.
Oh, that's what you're hinting at.
I like squares.
Big,
I like
big
squares.
Math number.
I like squares. Okay. All right. I could care less about... I don't care about 23 squared. Like, we didn't mention it. We didn't mention it when it came up.
Okay.
So, but this one, I like... I somehow, 576 is like, oh, yeah, that's 24 squared. I don't know why.
Okay, happy birthday to you.
I guess, yeah. To me? No.
Yeah.
My birthday?
No, it's like a birthday present like that you got today.
Oh, it's not my birthday today.
No, but 576 is like some giant present and you're celebrating. Yeah.
Well, it's a January 15th birthday. A present.
Oh, okay.
Not my birthday. Oh, this is taking a twist. This is not good.
It's
at
a
all.
Present. I shouldn't have said birthday. It's just a present on your day. Just your day. This is your day. This is Alan's day.
How do you say, I'll tell you what, Geschenk. That is how you say present, a gift in German. Geschenk.
Okay.
How do you say it in French? Go.
You
lived in Montreal or something.
I know. I never lived there, but we had relatives there. I like in my head, I'm thinking gâteau, but it's not gâteau,
that's cake.
Right?
That's
oh, it's
cake.
Gratuit? Is it gratuit or is that win?
No, that's tip.
Gratuit. Is it something like with a G? Is it a G?
No, but you're close with gâteau.
Gâteau. I don't know. Give it
cadeau,
to me.
Le cadeau.
Cadeau.
Yeah.
French. Why has it got to be so confusing?
I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Tabernac. Can you say that? I'm not sure if I have to bleep that now.
I think you do. I think the French people are going to be, our French listeners are going to be up in arms.
I think they're going to appreciate the fact that I know what that means.
It's a bad thing, right? It's like a swear word.
Yeah. But it's based on the church. Like you're referencing like the tabernacle, the church. That's where tabernacle comes from. That's a swear. Is a church word in Quebec. Not in France. In France, they have no idea what I'm talking about.
But
I've talked to
like...
French people here. I've been to France a number of times. I've tried to speak French to them, what I think is French, and it turns out they do not have the time of day. A Keller a teal for whatever I call French. Like they think that Quebecois is just garbage.
Okay.
And they don't care for it. For example,
you know what we don't care for? Nobody cares for
it.
Yeah, about the French, other than maybe the French. Our listeners mostly probably not the French.
Right. We're big in Quebec. Yeah. Yeah. Huge in Quebec.
Right.
Okay. Big in the Sioux. No.
There is a wrestling tag team in the 80s that was from Quebec.
Named?
The Rougeau Brothers.
The Rougeau Brothers. I remember.
Yeah.
I think I remember.
They actually, at some points, they went by the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers. And then I think they even might have changed their name at some point in the 80s. Vince McMahon probably forced them to the Quebecers. I think they were the Quebecers.
The Quebecers?
Yeah, I think at one point they were the Quebecers, which is kind of terrible. A weird name. But anyways, we're talking about Quebec. Yeah, but they were the Rougeaus.
Is it even Quebec? It's Quebec, right? Like they say Quebec.
We say Quebec. I think they say Quebec. And then they would come in with their fleur-de-lis flags, and they would be waving it and always get booed. The Quebecers were evil.
They would boo the fleur-de-lis?
Yeah. Yeah, they sure were. Oh. It was Americans. Americans don't like people flag waving in their house.
Right, but they like the Cajuns, like down in New Orleans, and that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Well, there's that connection, that French-Canadian, that Acadian. I always thought Acadian. We've taken a turn here, Adam.
Yeah, I shouldn't have brought up the wrestling thing.
No, it's the wrestling was what ruined it. Upper and Lower Canada, the history lesson I was about to give. I was about to go into Frontenac and see where this went. And obviously, get your take on Louis Riel. Was he a patriot? Was he a terrorist? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he was.
All important things, yeah.
Yeah, this big, I know a lot of our fans are like, oh man, I hope they mention Louis Riel and the Red River Rebellion. I hope it comes up this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it did. Hey, we did it. All right, Patreon. If you want to help, especially if you're near Quebec, we take Quebec. What's the currency in Quebec?
Quebec money.
Francs? These francs, right?
No, they don't.
I think so. I think the loonies are technically francs.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that goes. Anyway, you want to help us out, go to our website, check out the Patreon link, click on that, and pledge a couple of bucks a month. All right. What is going on, Adam? What's going on in Steveston? What's the weather? Are you back to normal? Is it still snowing?
Yeah, no, the snow is melted, and it's actually warmed up significantly. By warming up, I think it was 6 or 7 degrees, but no, it's been a lot nicer the last couple of days. Hasn't been raining, which is a change, so... No, it's turned around here. How about you?
We're getting weird weather now. It's like -8 overnight, so it's like -6 when I take the kids to school, and then afternoon yesterday it was like +12 or something, or +8. I don't know. It was crazy.
That can't be good when it's fluctuating that wildly.
No. I don't know. I've been in the shop the whole week, so it doesn't matter to me. I'm unfortunately, like today, very sunny day, but I had to get a bunch of work done because tomorrow was Sunday, and the neighbors don't let you run your thickness planer on Sundays.
There's a big sign on the highway.
Well, no thickness planer. Fair to them, that is one loud machine. Mm-hmm. So
I understand, yeah.
I get it, plus... I have added a dust collection system to
That's not quiet?
It's not quieter, no. It doesn't take away sound. It's essentially a shop vac connected to like a cyclone thing. I don't know how to describe it to you.
Through like the ceiling, is it getting sucked up the top or sucked up the bottom?
Neither. This is a separate, like a bucket with a thing on it. Like I am low rent, man. I don't know what you imagine I have in terms of like a giant, massive warehouse that I build in. I build in a very small area.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's a bucket. And then on the top, you screw in this little cyclone thing so that the shop vac sucks the air in. Rather than sucking all the sawdust into the shop vac, it goes through the cyclone first, whips around, and gravity says, hey, why don't you go in the bucket? And then the fine dust goes in the shop vac.
Gotcha. So you don't wreck the shop vac, basically.
Exactly. So, and then when you, with a thickness planer, oh my God, does that thing make some sawdust? Like, mm-hmm. That is ridiculous how much it was. So, I filled up, I don't even know how many gallons or liters are in that bucket, but I filled it up twice. It was a massive bucket, filled it up twice today, doing some thickness planing. That's what I was doing.
Great.
Yeah. So I even took some pictures, some before and after for you.
Okay.
So I thought you, in case you wanted to see the update, because this, now episode 4 of the Holzfäller Woodworking Company is online, but this is like episode 8 or 9 that you're looking at now. You're getting a sneak preview, Adam, and the listeners also a sneak preview of what's to come in the mudroom build. So episode 4 is up. Check it out on YouTube, of course. Thanks to everybody who has done so far. But that's where I'm making face frames or doors or something like that for the other side. This is the bench, like with the drawers and the like the shoe drawer, etc. I made.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking at that picture there, and so you see those rough, that those rough, ugly looking boards sitting in front of it.
Sure.
Yeah. And then look at the after, and that is it's them playing
way
down.
Smoother. Yeah, nice and finished looking.
It's oak. I went and bought some what we call Sagerau, like rough sawn oak at the sawmill yesterday, a couple days ago, a week ago, something like that. And then planed it down.
Mm-hmm. So planed down some
big planks, gonna square up one edge, glue them together and make a massive bench top for those drawer bench, what have you there.
Nice. Yeah, no, we did our floors in the engineered oak that looks a lot like this, like a very light oak. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to end
up. I like oak. It looks good.
Oak is the best. I okay. Wow. Controversial stand, Alan. Everyone likes oak, by the way, turns
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
It is hands down my favorite. Mahogany, not a fan. Not a fan of mahogany.
Okay.
So write that down. Beech, it's fine, serviceable. Maple is nice. I like maple okay. But oak has a very, very interesting, nice grain pattern.
Yes.
Very, very nice wood. And it smells like popcorn when you cut it like this.
Okay. That's so progress is being made on the channel. The channel did a lot of listeners subscribe? Has it been bumped in its numbers?
Better than I thought. Like it's not going gangbusters because I have not done the full on publish. Like it's published, but I haven't done the old the promotion. I've basically told people I know, the listeners / my friends. So
when do you do the podcast circuit to pump your tires on all these other podcasts?
I'm doing Fallon tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
And then after that, you're not allowed to do the other shows, Kimmel or nothing like that. You got to take a week off. You know how the deal is. Right, I don't know. Right. I don't know when that's going to happen. It's also a lot of it is keywords and descriptions and all the things, which
but I would have thought, like, you know, Marquardt, you'd go and go on his show and go on Don's show. And I don't know who other shows that you might be involved with, but like, you know, those seem like good avenues to get your thing off the ground. Flying.
I will be hitting them up to go on their shows ASAP. And do you say ASAP or ASAP?
I say ASAP, but okay. I understand both. They're both good.
Well, no, you can swing it. I know you know what they both mean, but curious to know what you use.
Mm.
But so I have to do all the whole keywords and the promotion and all that stuff. I haven't done yet. I've been really busy. First of all, getting that show up, and then also building the rest, the other side of what's going on. Like, my kids need a mudroom in the winter. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
that's important.
I want to get this done by next week. I want to have the bench done and have it glued up and finished and screwed on. And so they have a full-on mudroom to use. We've been using it so far a lot more than before, and it's very, very handy. I want to have the other side done pretty much. I have to put one little piece of trim up, and the rest of it's done. The laundry side, we have water, the taps work, the sink, electricity works. I did all that. So, spoiler alert, that's coming in future episodes.
Okay, well, look forward to it.
All right. Reminder, the monthly challenge for this month is white, the color white. Hashtag that #2hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers, even better, do both and tag us at #2hosers on the Instagram. And we'll talk about that at the end of the month. Well, beginning of next month, really. We'd like to give everybody the entire month of January to make this happen.
Sure.
So you guys back to hockey? Is baseball happening? What are you guys doing?
Just hockey right now. Hockey will probably wind down at middle of February. I think it's playoffs next month, so they're kind of winding down the regular season in January, and then they'll, if everything continues to go as it has been, then we should be done hockey mid to end of February, just depending on the playoffs, and then okay. and then it'll be baseball. So we haven't really, because it's still been so cold out, and using the cage would not be great in that it's been so cold. So it's starting to warm up now, and as hockey winds down, we'll start going back to the cage again to prep for baseball. Not so much from just like, hey, performance standpoint, but for, you know, warming the body up, not hurting anything when it started gets going full swing.
Yeah, that's the key. Is you know, get the swing will come real pretty quickly with the kids. I mean, generally, what I find when I'm getting the new season going after taking the winter off is two things. Is one is your arm strength. Obviously, you want to go out there and sort of build up that arm strength so you don't kind of blow out your elbow, which is a typical weak point. Is your elbow will typically hurt first. Something they call golfer's elbow. You know what that is, Adam?
I do.
What's it called? What's it technically called?
Medial epicondylitis.
And that is swelling in that joint that prevents you from straightening your arm. Is that correct?
No, it's more like a breakdown, like so micro tearing of the tendon connection between your wrist flexors, like the forearm part that flexes, and its attachment to the medial elbow, which can take a lot of load. So it's a repetitive strain, kind of overuse problem, but usually due to a lack of flexibility in the forearm muscles.
Okay, there you go. That's what I was diagnosed with when I was like 13. Starting in April, and my arm was starting to get sore in the elbow, and they said it was like tennis elbow, but the opposite, the other side.
Yeah,
like golfer's elbow. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's one thing you want to do, and then I'll also, and this is something that I don't know if the kids even care about anymore because they have so many, you know, pairs of batting gloves. I would start to build up the calluses on my hands because in March, they're not so. I got pillow hands. I got computer hands at that point, and so I got to build up the calluses to swing that bat.
Yeah, I was thinking about Jack more from the standpoint, like he's grown so much in the last few months, like just height wise, like his legs are so long, like his body, his arm, he's all arms and legs, and his body is going to be loading very, very differently when he returns to baseball, like almost like a baby giraffe, let's call it that. And so like he's gonna have to figure out like just how this, like all these levers are gonna be very different from baseball from last season. And so again, there's gonna be different whip and different torque, and his body is gonna have to get used to that gradually. And that's why I'm thinking like, okay, I gotta get him kind of warming into this different body. Otherwise, he's gonna hurt himself, right? Like it's just it's crazy at this age how much, like, you know, they can grow in a short amount of time. And so yeah, it's funny giving him a hard time because all his like his pajamas and stuff are like 6 inches too short. So it's really funny. Yeah, and he doesn't find the same humor in it that Lisa and I do. But anyways,
okay.
Yeah, so he's had a pretty significant growth spurt, and therefore, to all those parents out there with kids, I doubt their 12-year-olds are listening, but to the parents at least with kids playing sports and these growth spurts, prep them, or they're going to hurt themselves when they go back to full sport all of a sudden.
That's good. He's going to have for the listeners at home. Obviously, they're excited. Who's he going to hit like this year? Well, he's going to have a more of a hopefully John Olerud swing with like a long lean, a lot of leverage, instead of someone like Jason Giambi, who's like fire hydrant. I'll say fire plug, like I'm British or something like that, but who's more of a compact, like tries to generate like tons of power with sheer strength. Whereas Olerud can just, you know, sort of whip that bat, and that's what you're saying. I'll send some videos of Olerud. That's, I think, honestly, who Jack should model after.
Okay. I was a big Johnny Olerud fan growing up, living in Toronto. Oh, just on the baseball talk, because I'm sure everyone can't wait to hear more, but this is kind of a VR sidebar. Last night, I was just kind of watching a little bit of VR video, because I find it interesting to watch video, like just short videos. I can't watch it for long periods of time, but short videos that have been done well in VR. And I found like a 2.5 minute video from the 2018 baseball All-Star game from the Home Run Derby done in VR 3D. And it was so unbelievably immersive, but it was the year that Bryce Harper won. He was at Washington at the time. It was in his hometown, and the video done on the field from like the players watching perspective and back and forth. It was him and Kyle Schwarber, who at the time I believe was on the Cubs, and it was just so crazy good. And I just kind of again was searching up sports videos 360, so you kind of are standing there feeling like you're on the sideline, and the players are walking in and out and talking, and you're watching them hit the home runs, and he hits the last one. He goes last in the finals and hits the last one, and it was so freaking cool that immediately I had to grab Jack and then get him to watch this, because he knows all the players. Like, he knows every player much better than I do because of that MLB baseball game that he likes to play. So,
right.
Anyways, VR, still like it. It's kind of awesome. Yeah.
Okay. We might have to have a video game talk after, because my son has expressed an interest in some sports video games, and so... I'm like, I have no idea. Do I get him a Sega Genesis? What do I do? I have no idea.
I'm
so far out of it that I have NHL 94. Should we play that, buddy? What do you think?
Yes. Yes. I think they still keep redoing that game because people love it that much.
Yeah. Well, 93 is better with the fighting, but obviously. So there's that. All right. Shoot anything interesting this week?
I did actually. I put a couple photos I had mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or week before, a couple weeks ago, about missing opportunity, not taking my camera along for dog walk and seeing some wildlife. And so Lisa and I took Sunny out for a walk last weekend, and I thought, oh, it's a nice day today. Like, it was a really nice day. I'm just going to bring the camera, not to take dog photos, but to see what's out there as far as wildlife. And eagles, once again, eagles, and there was actually two of them this time, perched up in a tree just off the dike, and I had the 70 to 200 on, thinking, oh, maybe I'll see some eagles, or hoping to see some eagles. And
hey, it's Glenn Fry.
And there you go, eagles. So it's I threw a picture in there of the eagles on the dike. It was a nice blue sky day, and so, yeah, I mean, they're way up high and way far away, so this is cropped in quite a bit. But there you go. There's the eagles of Steveston.
Are they there often? I don't remember them being
that spot. So I don't know if there's a nest up there or not. There might be, but they go up there and they'll just sit there. Like, so, I mean, as soon as I got to the dike and turned the corner at around Steveston Highway. This is like 50 meters from that spot, and there's a whole bunch of people with binoculars, and people stopped on the dike just watching. I'm like, sweet, the eagles are here today. And then I just basically stand on the dike and point up at the eagles, and this is what we got at the time of day. So I think eagles have that sort of life mate thing, so I'm guessing this is a couple here. The male is much bigger, I believe, on the right, and then there's, I believe, the female on the left. So he's kind of side eyeing me, which I like in this shot, and so snap that on our way down to Gary Point Park.
Nice. Have you ever been up to what do you call the place on the way to Whistler with all the eagles? I can't think of it right now.
No, not specifically to shoot eagles on Highway 17. Between Richmond and heading out towards like where I used to go to work in Langley, and you take that perimeter road out towards the valley, there was always a spot where like a whole bunch of trees just off the highway where there would just be eagle, eagle, eagle. And there's nowhere to really stop, but people would stop and risk their lives to get out and take shots of the eagles. But this was no need to risk my life. This is right off the dike.
Brackendale is the name of the town. Go to Brackendale. I forget when the spawning season is, but it's Eagle Central, because that's where all the salmon are spawning, and they just pick them off. And,
sure.
You want to see some
eagles. Yeah.
World famous.
I was hoping that in the couple minutes that I stood and watched the eagles that they would take off. That was what I was hoping for, except for I was with the dog, and the dog only really likes to walk when I am out in front of her. So Lisa's got her on the leash, and I'm basically like the pace bunny. Like, I have to go out in front, and then she chases me. And so I stood there for a minute. So she stood there for a minute, and then it just became, okay, time for your walk, Sonny. You got to chase me now. So when I got back, eagles were gone. So I missed the flight.
Oh, and it still looks cool nonetheless.
Yeah. Anyways, Bald Eagle's kind of cool. Yeah. Then when we actually got the other thing I took, and I didn't put more photos in because Solar to Sea is part of the photo challenge. It got to Gary Point Park, and then there was like a guy watching this kind of big bush, and then there was hummingbirds. There's four hummingbirds. I'd never seen more than one hummingbird. There was four kind of like zigzagging all around this kind of little treed area. So anyways, that's a cliffhanger for the photo challenge of my hummingbird shot. Yeah. So
teaser.
But what about you? Like, was there anything interesting other than your wood bench that you shot?
No, I get more pictures of the wood bench.
Okay, different angles of wood.
Yeah. Here's me, a shot of me at the sawmill talking to the guy.
Okay, all right.
And then here's a shot of driving home from the sawmill.
Yeah, you're stopped at a red light.
Yeah, I'm not gonna take pictures while I'm driving. I'm not a lunatic. here's a picture of the sawdust I created when I. No, none of that is true, listener. Sorry to disappoint. No, we went sledding last weekend.
Okay, well, that's something.
Yeah, after we recorded the show, so technically it's since we last spoke. We got a phone call from some friends of ours, like, hey, like, because we don't have snow here. It's still green, and but about half hour drive away is a little bump in the a series of bumps called the Schwäbische Alb, which is these little sort of foothills in Swabia here, and that's where the snow line is, and so. So, we drive in about half an hour, you can see the snow starting to appear, and then everybody was sledding, and so we went there. It's actually a ski hill, like a very small ski hill, but they didn't have enough snow to open yet, so everyone is basically just tobogganing and bobsledding and what have you. And so, we went there, just kind of a last-minute thing, like, hey, I'll go up in the attic, get the bobsleds out, and so snapped a couple of photos, and there's my kids in front of a cool looking sort of hill. Hard to see in this picture, actually. There's some sort of a building or church or whatever on top of that hill. In the wider shot where it's better depth of field, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple shots of my son really getting after the snow. He's full tilt boogie is the best way to describe him.
Mm-hmm. I like the snow spray and
yeah.
I like what's going on.
Yeah, he's not messing around, and there's one of him hoofing it up the hill. So that was it. This is the Canon 40D 30mm that still won't die. This is the one that was in the Mediterranean 6 months ago. I thought it was done. I thought that was it. And most of the buttons do not work. The anything below the equator of that camera does not work for some reason. I don't know why. It didn't go in the water, underwater. But most things don't work. But the shutter button works, and so we're still rolling on it. But you know what? You know what is terrible about it though. And this is it's amplified in the cold weather. Is the battery life is just terrible in the cold.
Right?
You got to get in.
It's there. Understandable. It's understandable.
Well, it's 114 years old, this camera. Like, I think it does wet plates, I think. So, nothing to cry about. Anyway, it was good to get out and do something different, finally, because we've been kind of doing the same old thing. Then I got a bunch more shots of that wood bench, if you want to revisit them.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
I do not. No, all right. No, I know. Photo challenge this week was not a dog. And you nailed it, buddy. Not a dog.
I did a bird.
You did hot dog, not a hot dog. That was a Silicon Valley reference.
You know what the equivalent should have been for me? Like, it should have been not a dog for me, not your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
My kids don't have their own Instagram, though.
Yeah. No, I did. Have you seen the dog? Sarah's doing an Instagram for Sunny.
Okay. It's your daughter.
I'll pump its
doing
tires.
It.
Oh yeah, it's my daughter doing it. I'll pump her tires.
Yeah.
For the Instagram at the end, if I can.
Oh no, she's gonna have more followers this week, by the end of this week, than I have ever had.
Oh, I'm sure. And again, I'm gonna supply some of the photos. Some of them she's just gonna take with her phone, which is fine. And then she just apparently there's a lot of dogs out there and even other dogs are following Sunny now. So.
Uh huh. Sunny the Woodle. Go ahead and pump it. Pump it here.
Sunny the Woodle. There you go. I think it's W-H-O-O DLE.
You'll for see it. Woodle. You will have. You'll. Why don't you tag one of the shots in yours. Tag Sonny the Woodle in one of your posts, and all the listeners can follow suit.
There you go, Sonny the Woodle. Okay, so photo challenge.
Okay, so not a dog.
Yeah.
You did hummingbird.
I did a hummingbird. Yes, that was. Four of them zigzagging in front of this bush, and it was bright outside, but the bush was in sort of some shade, and I didn't know this was time limited. So of course, as I was walking up, I was not set up for a hummingbird shot. Right. I did not know I was going to be walking into this. So whatever the settings were set up for the eagle, that's what was in the camera for the hummingbirds. And I was too concerned that I was gonna miss it. I was not going to tinker with settings. I was just going to, I knew I had a fast enough shutter speed to get something because it was the time of day, it was sunny and blah blah blah. But anyways, I basically was in panic mode of like, I gotta get this. This is not a dog, and these are hard to shoot. For those out there that have tried to shoot hummingbirds in the wild, that they're not this isn't hovering at a feeder. This is just out where there isn't food, or I guess it's just zigzagging everywhere. And so I must have tried for about a minute and a half before they were gone. And I must have taken 50 shots to get maybe one of each bird in focus. Like I probably got four shots in focus because incredibly hard to do this, especially on a 70 to 200 because I'm trying to zoom in, but then it's not in the field of view for more than like a millisecond. It's just gone. Right. So I did manage to get lucky. I'm shooting a little wider and then a little bit of spray and pray tactics here, trying to figure out a deep enough depth of field in order to capture something. So I did manage to get this one with the, I really liked the pink on this one. There was a yellow one that I had too, but it was kind of tucked in. Did I put it in the box? I put a hummingbird, a second one that was, I think a male. I think the yellow one's the male. And I think the one with the pink head is a female. But I really like the pink because the bird blends in with the background, except for the pink. The pink is kind of pops it out from the background.
Indeed. Back in 92, there was a very popular cover band in Vancouver. I saw the UBC at the Pitt Pub. They were an Eagles cover band called the Hummingbirds.
Okay.
So there you go.
I like it.
Eagles. Yeah. I wish you understood that I was just joking.
I wanted that to be true. Yeah. That would be a good name.
Yeah, it would be a good name. I'm gonna edit that out and patent that. I would actually rather see an Eagles cover band than the actual Eagles. So
yeah,
except for Joe Walsh, he's clearly the easily who's your favorite with the Eagles? Like,
I honestly I don't have a favorite. I do like the Eagles, and I was a big classic rock. No, I like the Eagles. I like classic rock. Period. I mean, I'm a buddy of mine was. I'm now trying to think of it. Was in a Pink Floyd cover band, and I wish I could remember the name. It wasn't the Hummingbirds though, but it was something bad that would have been funny if I could have remembered it. So just spitball on some silly Pink Floyd cover band names.
I don't know what they would go with. I honestly don't know. It would have to be a different color. They'd have to go with the color and then something Lloyd or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Blue Lloyd. It's hard to be clever with the Pink Floyd.
So. Okay, I can't remember it either. I'm looking up cover band names for Pink Floyd bands right now. Sorry.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite, or are you just like Hotel California?
No. I like the James Gang better than the Eagles. I don't really care for the Eagles.
Okay, but do you have an Eagles song? Like everyone, I think would say Hotel California because that's the one that comes to mind. I mean, the Eagles have other hits, but they're not hits like Hotel California.
I like The Wall.
That's
Pink Floyd. We're talking about Pink Floyd again. I don't know. Whatever Zeppelin did. I don't know. No, I like Funk 49, and that's the best Eagles song. It's not even the Eagles, but it's Joe Walsh. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. That's what I'm saying.
The background on the hummingbird is my favorite in this shot. Like, it just is cool. It's just all the oranges and browns, and it's just sticks of a bush, but it really just is texture and lines and every which way of messiness. And then the bird, just, I cropped it to be in the middle. Again, this is quite a wide shot that was cropped in, but that's the beauty of the 70-200 is I'm standing maybe 10 feet away from this little bush and bird. And I don't know, I'm probably zoomed in, I don't know, 100 and something millimeters. Is it say on there?
I didn't look.
I'm going to say 130, 140. I don't know, something like that.
No, 200, bang on, right at the end.
Okay, so it's the full zoom. So even at a whatever this is, this has got to be a F8, F9, something F8. Like that. Yeah. So even at an F8, like, to give some depth, it still has such a nice background blur.
Yeah.
You know, so that lens is awesome. It's heavy. It's a absolute bargain these days. I think you could probably pick up that lens for $500
on the used market. Mine's even cheaper because I dropped it.
Oh yeah, you can pick up Al's for free. But yeah, you can find probably one in good shape for $500. And this is a go-to for like my sport stuff. I generally use the 70-200. It's super sharp. It's just such a great lens, but it is heavy and I don't put it on most of the time because of carrying around that extra weight. So
indeed, I wish mine still works. Mine still functions for the most part, like 99% of it, but I wish I hadn't dropped it because this is like one of my favorite lenses still. Great. And really not easy to shoot hummingbirds in the wild. So extra points for that for sure. All right, I'm going to disappoint you, and I shot my kids this week. But I made a nice background, I think. I think the background
background is cool. Yeah, I like the background.
So this is some cool village. I forget the name of the place that we went to in the Schwäbische Alb. But this is sort of overlooking that, like a little ridge, and then overlooking that little town and the fields in behind. This is like southern Germany. So this is pretty typical of the way villages and whatnot works down here. And so we just had some nice sunshine. I said, hey, kids, stand here for me for half a second. The people in the background decided to not leave. I was hoping to get them out of the way, but they planted. And I was gonna think, when I get home, I could do the content-aware fill or just leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went with that. Just leave it. So.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't just crop it.
Yeah, but I wanted to get the whole landscape. So I was considering it, but I was like, am I taking away from some of the nice landscape in there? Would it still have the same effect if it was a little bit more square? More square, not square, but more square. And so I was like, you know what? They can stay. I want to get the full effect of the valley there because it looked really cool.
There you go. Yeah, no, it does look cool.
So once again, that 40D will not die. Still doing it for me. So anyways, all right. Topic this week, I talked to our friend Don Komarechka.
Yeah, Donnie boy.
Former Canadian, up and left. Had enough of living in the same country as Schwartz and beat it.
Still Canadian, though. I think he's still technically Canadian.
He's still a Canadian citizen. And but he left. He left Ontario, moved to Bulgaria in November, beginning of November. And haven't talked to him in a while and decided, hey, let's catch up and see what's going on with Don Com. And that's what this interview is. So without further ado, you know him, you love him, Don Komarechka. All right, live from, I'm going to say Bulgaria.
That's right.
Good. I'm not writing your biography, Don. I thought I could have been in Hungaria, could have been in Czech. I'm not sure where you are.
Hungary, not Hungaria, but, to name countries properly, we are in Bulgaria, the Bulgarian Republic, here close to the coast of the Black Sea, just south of Varna, the third biggest city in the country, and I'm coming to you from our home in the village.
Home in the village. So unless I did a poor job introducing Don, but I did a great job with Adam, right? Rolling in here. We're talking to Don Komarechka, who has picked up stakes, left Canada, moved to sunny Bulgaria. Sunny, right?
Yeah, well, I think it is right now. My curtains are closed, but generally the weather here is a heck of a lot better, at least this time of the year, than it would be in Canada.
Okay, good to know. So, I mean, there's so much to get into. You've been very busy, but first of all, what do we need to know about Bulgaria, Don? I mean, we talked last time.
What do you need to know
about?
So, Bulgaria is a country of less than 7 million people, consisting of seven mountain ranges, a coastline, lots of caves and valleys. The southern part of the country is a great wine-growing country, region. But, you know, there's waterfalls and mountain peaks, and just it's a very picturesque location for photographers in general. Landscape photography, sure, but as a macro photographer, my backyard is going to be unbelievably beautiful and for many more months of the year than I would have had in Canada. So, you know, it's a different lifestyle, obviously. We're in a village of, I think the mayor said about 135 permanent residents. So that's not a lot. The number goes up in the summertime, and there's guest houses that people can rent to explore the region and so far. We see some being worked on in the village right now, but our street doesn't have a name. Our house doesn't have a street, obviously, if the street doesn't have a name, the house doesn't have a number. And it's pretty darn rural, but we like it, and we're really enjoying ourselves here.
Maybe you should name the street.
Maybe. I think the people that have lived here before us would kind of take dibs on that, though.
So far they haven't bothered to do it, so it's not a priority. I checked on Google. If I were to leave my house right now, I would be at your door in 21 hours. That's a hike.
And we have a guest house in our backyard. Yeah, there is a separate building that's got a bedroom and kitchen and all that, so that you would be fully equipped if you wanted to stop by and visit.
Maybe in the summertime. January, not exactly when I want to see Bulgaria.
No, and we got construction projects going on right now anyhow.
Okay. Good to know. So how far across is the Bulgaria part? Like, if you're on the coast, correct?
If we drive east, we'd be about closer to 10 minutes to the coast.
10 minutes to the coast. So if you drove west, how far until you hit, I guess, Serbia, right?
Serbia's on the west. I don't know. 9 hours, 10 hours. You could do it in a day. You could traverse the country in a day. It's hard to say, because sort of like Germany, where you've got the Autobahn, the main A1 highway here, I think, has a speed limit of 140 kilometers an hour, but I don't think anybody actually abides by that.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, sure, the deal in Germany is the Autobahn is, hey, no speed limits, but that's not really true.
It's as dangerous, because you'll have somebody going along 80 kilometers an hour.
Yes.
Passing by somebody going 180 kilometers an hour, and there's a 100 kilometer delta in their speed. That's not exactly safe.
No, this is my big rub. Everyone talks about how awesome the Autobahn must be, and sure, it's fun if you're driving a 911 at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's pretty fun. You know, on the way to Schaffhausen, out on that road. But if you're driving, you know, Frankfurt to Stuttgart or Stuttgart to Munich, a lot of traffic. You have a lot of the big trucks, the, what do you call them? LKW, the semi-trucks, like the shipping trucks, who are, you know, they're doing 90 in the right-hand lane. And so that kind of makes things a little bit dicey. So,
yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, no, I understand. I understand it now more than I have before.
Right.
Especially like even the roads to our village have mostly been repaved. In fact, when we moved here, they hadn't even put the paint on the roads yet. So it's a lot of new infrastructure. But you'll get people driving in like a 1978 Lada,
right,
you know, next to that Porsche 911. And so, you know, it's not just the big trucks. You know, there's an entire spectrum of vehicles on the mm-hmm. road, and some that just can't accelerate faster than I can run. So,
yep, I know it well. But anyway, so life in Bulgaria, how long have you been there now, Don?
We came in late October. I think October 30th is when our flight arrived, and that was at sort of the peak of a COVID wave, which had diminished, and now it's back up with the Omicron stuff going on here. But during that time, it's difficult to kind of get yourself, like, we already owned the house, sure, mm-hmm. but it wasn't furnished. We didn't have appliances, and you have to go through all sorts of government bureaucracy to get, my permanent resident status, my daughter's birth certificate formulated here, and marriage certificates, and so many different little pieces of paper that are needed in order to just to live. That it feels like the first month that we were here, that's all we did is just run around and just buy a washer and dryer and microwave and all the furniture for the house and sort out all this paperwork. So that month of November, it's kind of a wash that nothing that it doesn't exist anymore. Right. So,
So how has that experience been? Because I noticed, like, for me, even now, like living in Germany, I've been here long enough. I still don't have that sort of shorthand. Like if I want to buy something in North America, I know where to go. Go to the Best Buy. Used to be Future Shop, of course. But I know what to look for. I know in appliances, but things are different. Or maybe you don't know which store to go to, or what the wiring code is, or what are the differences that are really hitting you?
I can say that I've successfully wired a couple of Schuko style plugs, so I feel like that makes me slightly more native now that I have dealt with some of the local electrical work, but. No, there's big stores. Obviously you don't have Costco and Walmart and Best Buy and all those types of things, but there are surrogates of those. Praktiker is a surrogate to Home Depot, and Metro, which is a grocery store chain in North America, is a closer analogy to Costco. Here you need a membership card and things like that. Kaufland is one of the biggest grocery store chains, and so you can go to these big box stores. Yes.
Oh, okay.
You've got those go-to places, but if I can, I'd prefer to buy my groceries from a little bazaar around the corner. I mean, not in our village, but in the bigger city, they've got these little bazaars, and people have their own individual stalls, and that's the experience that I prefer if I can have it. Now, it's not always the case, but even in our village here, we're right across the street from a mini market. And, if we need milk or bread or, just the regular household stuff, we go there. We support the locals.
All right. So, but you've been offline for a little bit. I mean, I keep checking up on seeing, if for example, Photo Geek Weekly is back on. Are you going to continue doing that?
No, actually, yes. I just recorded the latest episode before we're talking here with my good friend Steve Brazel, and I think the episode went really well. We'll see how it comes out in editing. Usually, there's almost no editing required for that particular show. So my hope is that it'll go nearly direct to air in the next couple of days and back in business. So long as I can keep up on a regular basis, I think that. Honestly, I won't feel like things are completely normal for maybe another month or two, as we're still kind of settling in. Photo Geek Weekly returns. I've been doing some shooting. I wrote an article for a prominent photography magazine yesterday, and they've sent me an email asking for some follow-up information. So those publications are continuing. And I was also announced that two of my images ended up on the covers of scientific journals in Canada, the Canadian Journal of Physics and the Canadian Journal of Microbiology. Both feature my images on their covers for 2022. So pretty thrilled about that. The adventures don't stop.
I did see that on your social media. Now, what is that process like? How do they discover you? What are the images?
So Journal of Physics is a micrometeorite taken with a 50x microscope objective. So pretty cool stuff. And the Journal of Microbiology was a 20 times microscope objective image of a fungal infection in a mulberry leaf, which honestly I shot because it was just kind of a neat concept that even if I am the only one that cares about it, I'd be happy with it. Right, it's the kind of imagery that you do for yourself. But I entered both of those images in a competition, a science imagery competition done by the publishing company. From there, you know, you read the fine print, and I always read the fine print when you enter an image into a competition. And they said that there's the possibility that I forget what the prizes were, but also that you could be published in the scientific journals, also published by the magazine, and no compensation for it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Which I would have preferred to at least get something for. But hey, their covers, Canada, scientific journals. And I knew from the outset that if they chose me, then I'd make my peace with that. And they did. So there you have it.
Okay. So look for those. I mean, I subscribe to those publications, obviously, but where can people find those?
Canadian Science Publishing. You can go and check them out. And okay. They do a lot of scientific journals, of which those are two of. And not that anybody listening to this podcast is going to go out and grab a subscription to them, because it's cost prohibitive, to say the least. Okay. But feather in my cap nonetheless. So at least one of them is still a print edition, although a lot of that stuff is transitioning to digital. I've asked them to, if they do print any of them, make sure that you send me a copy, and they've got my address. So it's incoming.
Nice. Now, what else have you been shooting? The video, you said.
Shooting video? I didn't say I was shooting video, did I?
I just made the leap. I just assumed. Okay, what else what else have you been shooting?
So I've been testing out, just before we moved, Leowa sent me an 85mm macro lens. And this is a full-frame macro lens that it's actually quite tiny, because it has a maximum aperture of only f5.6. And, whenever I get a new lens like that, it's always fun to put it through its paces, see exactly how much resolving power it has. And it's got a 2x magnification on it, which is wonderful. It actually performed quite nicely. I did some water droplet refraction images, which I love. But I had been, again, little pet projects that I hope every photographer has. I if I can reach it here, I have old computer processors. And, I like to take them apart. I like to take anything apart, really, and photograph the silicon dye that's inside of them. You could actually make a really cool image out of those computer chips, because they have it's almost holographic, the way that they laser etch onto the silicon surface that creates a thin film interference, optical interference pattern that kind of jumps back at you with rainbow colors and so on. So, yeah, I geek out about stuff. That doesn't, I don't leave that behind in Canada. I take that with me wherever I go.
Right. A pet project, I've never thought of putting it in those terms. I think more than ever, I need a pet project for photography.
You've got your woodworking stuff. That's a pet project. But I don't know if that really adapts itself well to picking up a camera, aside from videoing your work.
Well, I do need to shoot a lot of those projects, like shoot them to share on the... My social media game is very, very... It's weak in general, but it's weak right now. I need to dedicate some time to step that up. And some photos... There you go. That's my pet project, will be photographing the projects I have made and whatnot. But it is taken away from my my photography, because I have this overwhelming sense of urgency to renovate my entire house by the end of the weekend and film it.
Yeah, that now the renovations on their own, I mean, that's no small task, but to film it, being both the person in front of and behind documenting the project, instead of just focusing on getting the project done, you're setting yourself up for a lot of frustration if you've got a quick deadline.
That is a true statement. That's what I find. Like, sometimes I just want to go... Well, imagine this. Like, sometimes I just want to go down into the workshop and just build some doors, like some cabinet doors, which I could do in, I could meet the command in an hour. got to set up the camera and the lights and get the sound ready and all that. And oh, and also I have to shave because, you know, I like to maintain some semblance of consistency.
You can't roll out of bed scruffy looking knowing that you're going to put on your old painting shirt anyhow and get to work, right?
That's pretty much the situation. And so I don't get put on a three-piece suit or anything like that, but I do want to be somewhat presentable, which if you see some of the videos, you'll find out that I'm not a strict rule I adhere to. There's a lot of considerations going on. And then all the other little things that, it's like, I could build this project in X amount of hours, but the glue has to dry before I can do the next stage. And so I'm sure you have many projects like that, like when you're photographing certain things that, the next step depends on the first step.
Yeah. And I think that there's a certain consistency with that as well. Like, the projects that I take on now, I would have never started taking on because, there's so many steps further down the line. Like one of my ideas for the spring is to find, and this was a missed opportunity that I had in Canada because I was so busy with so many other things, but we had a sunroom and a lot of bugs would end up stuck in there and unfortunately perish in the heat. But then you'd have like a lot of perfect, insect bodies. Whether it be, a bee or a fly or a wasp or what have you, to get like a 20 times microscope, like in on a wasp eye or wing or something, that can be really, really cool imagery. And it's just with, stuff that I would normally vacuum away at the end of the day. And I missed that opportunity. So I'm hoping that I'll have the chance to do more of that.
Did you ever see Silence of the Lambs?
I did.
Okay. Just reminded me of, getting the moths from Suriname.
Not afraid of that. But the idea with that kind of imagery is that it's just, okay, it's around me. And it can be fascinating if I give the time to look at it. And even if it doesn't have a larger audience, I don't care. Because I would really enjoy working on that for my own sensibilities and curiosities and so on. And so I want to go with that and see what I can make of it. And if other people like it, great. But I guess one of the reasons for the move is a bit of additional financial security. Our house in Canada is being rented out. We have tenants that are paying for that. So there's less of a really hard pressure to make everything worth something in terms of a dollar value for a client or for the next project that's going to be paying and so on and so forth. There can be more time spent, spending an entire week just working on an image concept that turns out, it wasn't a good idea to begin with, but that's okay.
Well, that's interesting. That is fantastic advice to give to people is that, I say it's fantastic because I give it out all the time. I don't believe that there's anything hard work is never wasted is how I put it. So like if you were to go out in your backyard every day and dig a hole in the morning, and then after lunch, you go and fill that hole back in and you do that every single day, you go dig a hole, fill it in. And at the end, your grass will be gone if you had any grass, but other than that, you'll be at zero except for your big massive shoulders.
Yeah, so you always walk away with something, right?
You'll walk away with something, and that's what I noticed. But also, what another thing I noticed, especially with the woodworking, which I'm not particularly I'm not skilled at. This isn't something I've done for a long time. I am learning. But what I've found is if you pay close attention to certain skills, like maybe building like a door, for example, like I said, there's three different things you need to do to build that door. Well, two of those will also apply to a different project. So even if you don't maybe get the doors 100% right, two of those skills will apply elsewhere.
Yeah. I look at all the handyman stuff that I can do around the house here, and there's a lot of it, but I know my limits, right? Like we're hiring somebody to build a beautiful outdoor kitchen with, they've got a pour a concrete foundation and put some nice, stone tiles down, build all the walls and the stone oven out of reclaimed bricks. And that is definitely not my skill set. And I'm not going to learn that on a big project like that and screw it up numerous times to be a headache that I will have to stare at for the rest of my days until I tear it down and build it again. So, you know, I know that that's not my area of expertise. And yes, I can learn those skills, but that's not what I'm doing this year. So pay the professionals what they're due and move on with my own creative endeavors.
That's true. You have to always assess the ROI on something, the return on the investment. And
that doesn't mean that the return has to be money. The return can be just a valuable experience. It can be an adventure. It can be some laughs that you can look back at years down the road and really remember fondly. The return can be a very personal one, and I think I need to get back to acknowledging and embracing that.
And what's that going to look like in the next couple months until spring?
Flowers are starting to bloom here in January because we've had some very unusually warm weather. I think we might be hitting into the double digits as the highs for the days in the next little bit. I think that I still have a lot of legwork to do. We just set up my Bulgarian company, and I'm in the process of engaging accountants for that and switching assets over from the Canadian corporation to the Bulgarian company. And there's just my head is in that space right now because it has to be. The timing is actually really good because I don't have as much of a desire to be outside and to be doing those creative things when I know I have other responsibilities to just kind of get things back up and running properly. One thing that was interesting here is when we bought this house, I knew that some things would be easier than we expect because we have a pellet stove that heats radiators all throughout the entirety of the house. And so every couple of days, you just go fill it up, clean it out, maybe every 5 days, maybe once a week, and it relatively maintains itself, which is great. What I didn't recognize was that they ran the radiator lines through the floors. So you get up in the middle of the night, put your feet on the ground, the floor is actually warm. Such a wonderful surprise to have living in a Bulgarian village, a luxury that I would have never had in Canada. But there's always a give and take because those heated floors are also very attractive to ants. And so we have a bit of an ant problem coming up through some of the cracks in the tile because why wouldn't the ants absolutely love a warm summertime climate in the middle of the winter living underground our house? There's a constant give and take, both from the personal and professional side of things. For everything good, there's something bad, and you got to find the balance between it all.
Well, I'm going to solve your ant problem for you.
Ant poison is the balance.
Oh, I'm going to go a different direction for you. You know what ants hate?
What?
Cinnamon.
Okay.
Not joking. Not even kidding. When you have ants coming into the house, I typically put down like a pile of cinnamon, they won't come in. Now, your problem will be solved because your house will be nice and warm and smell like cinnamon.
Well, I was actually thinking I could make a staged set near one of the little cracks where I know the ants come out of. Instead of putting poison there, have like a little reed of grass or something and like some sugar water at the end of it. And have the background nicely staged and the camera right there and get a nice little line of ants running across the frame of the camera. And I could make use of this. I don't know if I will. I don't know if my wife will tolerate that type of activity. But if spousal approval can be obtained, then maybe something like that can happen.
You're going to make lemonade out of ants. I love it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to rebrand that, though. That sounds terrible. What about your books? Can people still buy your books, Don?
Do you have you that can. Sort of? You can. So if you want to buy a copy of my books, ebooks always available. You can get that at my website, skycrystals.ca. But if you want a physical copy of my newest book, You can still buy them. The Camera Store out of Calgary, they have copies of it, of the physical edition. And if you're in the United States, B&H and Adorama both have some quantities left. I don't know how much, but I stocked them up. They put in some purchase orders just before we left. And so their inventories are still above zero. For how long, I don't know. But if you missed it initially and you were procrastinating, you were hoping you got it for Christmas and you didn't, then you still have the opportunity. You can't get the physical one from me directly anymore, so I'm not going to be able to sign it. But you can still get one in your hands. And if we meet up in the future, I'd be happy to give you a little autograph there.
And my advice to everyone listening is, if you're going to get the book, which you should get the book, get the physical copy. It's substantial. It kills ants, actually.
There you go.
Boom. Done. Get it for that. And on social media and whatnot, where can people find you, Don?
Yeah, so all of that is linked to my website at doncom.ca. Actually, doncom, D-O-N-K-O-M. .bg also works now. Ah. Just brings you to the .ca website. But I'm being proactive here. I'm getting those Bulgarian domain names.
Wait a second. And, why have I never asked you this before? Why is there not a doncom.com?
There is. donkom.com is a domain name that I think I own. I try to get as many variations on that as possible. But it just brings you to the .ca.
But hang on, I just love saying doncom.com.
Yes, but the problem with that is a lot of people will spell it doncom.com.
Yeah.
And that domain name was already taken by somebody else. So I don't own that one.
So you would have bought that to drive it to the doncom.com.
Yes, but yes. Because I can't have them both, I say go to doncom.ca instead.
Understandable. I did the same thing, which I'll tell you off air, but I had the same issue. You had to buy multiple websites to try to combat other people's confusion.
That is correct. Yeah. And so to make it even more confusing, you can go to doncom.bg for Bulgaria. And all of my social media accounts are there. You'll find me on Flickr and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, I don't use a lot of those for like personal things. I'm very quiet personally on social media. But professionally, all the latest images that I shoot and the musings that I have about them are all going to be on every one of those platforms.
All right. Be sure to check them out, everybody. Don, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me back on. And when I'm all fully configured and set up here with some photographic adventures under my belt, have me back on. We'll chat again.
And we're back.
Wow. Great catching up with Don.
Good to see, hear what's going on in Bulgaria. I don't remember if I did it on the show or off the air, but you can find Don at doncom.ca, right? That's his website.
Sure.
It took me 11 years, evidently, to think of it, and I asked him, why don't you have doncom.com?
Domcom.com. Yeah, that's kind of good. Or domkeycom.
Donkey Kong. That's not bad, actually. That's a whole different ballgame. He explained. Again, if I'm repeating it on the air, I'm sorry. I forget if it was off the air or not. But he explained that he does have doncom.com, but when he says it, people assume that the com in doncom is com, and nobody goes there. So he doesn't use it as doncom.ca, and that's how they go it. But I thought doncom.com was pretty cool. And I understood him. Once again, I bet you I told it on the interviewing him, so I'll tell you off the air. But
plus, I'm bored already. So
oh no, of course you are, of course you are. So, anyways, that's it for .com. Challenge monthly challenge for November. November?
Jeepers! No,
he moved
January.
Let's do January this January.
Yeah.
Yeah, monthly challenge for January. Keep it simple. Is white. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. And Sunny the Woodle, we'll check that out.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah. So there's that. I don't have a challenge for next week, Adam, because I feel like I've been dominating for the last 11 years, and maybe you want to pick one.
Not your kids.
Not my kids. That's fair enough. Hey, turnabout is fair play. Not my kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that mean not your own kids as well, or just
my kids? Not your kids. I can shoot my own kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
All right.
Not my two kids. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be the challenge for next week. I can't do that. I got nothing. It's gonna be. Oh, here's some sawdust.
A bowl
hey,
of
everybody.
It.
Everybody. Yeah. Hey, who wants to see me put some finish with some lacquer on this bench top? Yeah. So there's that. All right, that'll be the challenge for next week. Meanwhile, websites, Adam, you got two now. Not even you. I mean, you have your Instagram, but Sonny the Woodle. So throw them both out there.
Yeah, Adam Two Hosers is mine, and Sonny the Woodle is Sonny's, manned by Sarah. So if there's any spelling mistakes or grammatical errors, blame her.
Yeah, right. Also, your daughter's not a man.
Sonny the why?
Manned by Sarah, you said.
Oh, sorry. Womaned by Sarah. Yeah. I don't know.
2022, Adam. Do better.
Sorry. Man. Yeah. Just like operated by.
Yes. Okay. Content provided by.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
CPB, we call that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can find my stuff at can you find it at alanatridge.com? I don't think you, who cares, honestly. That is so old. I haven't updated that since the internet was invented. I still have pictures of Al Gore on there. But go to alanatridge.com anyways. Go to holzfellerwoodworking.com and check out the YouTube channel. And but the two of us you can find at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.